Baseball has had a complicated history in Tucson. For decades, our city was a spring training host for several major league teams. But spring training moved to Phoenix last year, and professional minor league teams have had a hard time getting established. Right now, an upstart team called the Padres is giving it a try, while efforts are underway to return spring training to Tucson. Meanwhile, the oldest team in town gets a chance to play among the ghosts of the greats. Here's Mark Dugan with the view from the field.
It's an oppressively hot and humid Wednesday night in Tucson, but that hasn't stopped baseball fans from gathering at Keno Stadium. About 1,000 of them are taking their seats and waiting for a late-season matchup between the Tucson Padres and the New Orleans Zephyrs. How the Padres came to Tucson is a complicated story, but it goes like this. A group of investors that also own the San Diego Padres bought a minor league team in Portland. They were supposed to move that team into a new stadium in Escondido, California, here in a few years, but they needed a place to park the team until it was built. After their first choice in California fell through, they decided to move the team to Tucson. The Padres are off to a good start tonight, racking up several runs in the first two innings. The team has fought low attendance numbers in its first year in Tucson, but has developed a hardcore group of fans who come out for most games. It's that kind of loyalty that general manager Mike Fader is hoping to build on.
The best way to classify it would be a work in progress. There was a lot of confusion early on about how many years we're going to be here. We're only here 1 year. So we had to overcome that. And I think now that we're sitting here in August, we've overcome a lot of hurdles. We really literally only had 4 months to put a AAA season together, which is unheard of.
Mr. Fader, the team has suffered from low attendance numbers here in their first season. I was wondering if you can attribute that to any particular thing. Does it have anything to do, for example, with the location of the stadium?
Are there issues at Keno Stadium because of the location? Without question. Are they overcomable? I think so. I mean, we've got 1 million people that live here. If we just increase our attendance by 1,000 people, that's a tiny portion of our community.
What about other factors? Does the weather play a role in low attendance on hot nights in particular? And what about the accusation that Tucson is just a little apathetic?
Before you said the last word, I would have said it. I think the weather hurts you a little, not a lot. We live in Tucson. We know what the weather's like. But that's not the reason that we're struggling. I still think there's a lot of confusion that people don't want to buy in because they don't know if it's long-term. You know what? Do you go to a movie theater? Do you go to a restaurant knowing that they're going to be around a year from now? Going back to the apathy, there is a lot of apathy in Tucson, without question. That's the word I've used, unfortunately, numerous times. And again, how do you overcome that? I don't know if I'm smart enough to figure that out, but I'm sure going to try.
There has been some talk of the owners possibly selling the Padres at some point. What can you say about that?
They wanted the team to be in Escondido. Doesn't look like it's going to work out, so they are going to consider an ownership change. Does that hurt us? Not necessarily. The reason we got it in the first place is there's no other cities in the footprint of the Pacific Coast League that are ready to play. If somebody's not going to build a new ballpark, and right now it's hard getting public money to build ballparks, then I think Tucson still winds up being on the map for future cities, regardless if it's the San Diego Padres owning it or another guy.
That's Tucson Padres general manager Mike Fader. When the Padres first came to town, there was already another professional baseball team playing games here. The Tucson Toros had played one season with the independent Golden Baseball League at High Corbett Field, but the league ended up merging with others to form a new league. So when the Padres arrived, the Toros decided to go on hiatus, but they continued to hold some promotions at High Corbett until being evicted by the stadium's owner, the City of Tucson. City spokesman Michael Graham sent us an email saying, quote, "The City of Tucson notified the Toros management that they were in default and their agreement has been terminated," unquote. But Jay Zucker, owner of the Tucson Toros, says the city's eviction notice arrived in late June and caught him completely off guard.
There was no prior notice or any indication prior to that. We've attempted to communicate with the city on several occasions to have discussions, and the only discussion that they wanted to have with us is when we're moving out. They basically stated that we have abandoned the stadium, and that is totally inaccurate. We're in total compliance with the terms of our lease with the stadium and the city of Tucson.
Do you expect the team to be back in any form in the future playing games at a ball field here in town?
It is our current plan, yes.
Zucker also confirmed the Toros are working to appeal their eviction from High Corbett. The city's most historic ballpark, High Corbett Field, was built in 1937. A veritable who's who of baseball greats have played at the field over the years. And now, a new tenant is moving in, and they're actually the oldest baseball team in town. The University of Arizona Wildcat baseball team played its first season in 1904. They've called Frank Sansett Stadium on campus home for decades now, but the university and the city recently agreed to a deal that would have the Wildcats play home baseball games at High Corbett. Here's U of A athletic director Greg Byrne.
I hadn't been here very long, and somebody told me, you know, you should go check out High Corbett. And I did, and I saw a really good infrastructure, good seating capacity, concessions, restrooms for the fans, some shade, which is more than we have right now. Areas for the team from a clubhouse and locker room that we don't have right now, and then the ability to look young men who are recruiting and their families in the eye and say, listen, you come to the University of Arizona and you have the opportunity to train in what was a major league facility just a couple years ago. Right now our net budget in baseball is about a $750,000 loss each year. There's two sports that make money, football and men's basketball. Our other 17 sports lose money. We think we will be in a better economic position to reduce the deficit of the $750,000 annual. I would hope someday, it certainly wouldn't be immediate, but I hope someday we could maybe even come close to breaking even.
Tucson used to be a center for spring training. The Cleveland Indians first started playing march ball at High Corbett back in 1937. But the city lost the last of those teams in 2010 when both the Arizona Diamondbacks and Colorado Rockies moved to a new spring training home in Scottsdale. But efforts are underway to bring spring training back. Jim Arnold is the executive director of the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. He confirms his group is talking with several Major League Baseball teams, but any decision on spring training is in the distant future. Back at Keno Stadium, it's the last out of the game. The Tucson Padres lead the New Orleans Zephyrs 5-4. The cheap seats have emptied, but there's still a good-sized group of diehards making noise in the stands right behind home plate. It's a swing and a miss. The last Zephyr goes down to a strikeout, and fans begin filing out of the ballpark. Some of these fans have thrown their support behind a number of Tucson baseball teams over the years, only to watch those teams fold or move to another city. But that hasn't stopped new teams from coming to town and new allegiances from being born. Despite a troubled past, baseball in Tucson still has good prospects for the future. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.
Let's go!